Good morning, or good afternoon. It's still good morning, isn't it? Yes. So, just to repeat, because someone said that they didn't hear my name. So my name is Ali. I am a compulsive overeater, and I didn't mention this, but I have 35 years in Overeaters Anonymous and 35 years sober. So I walked in at 4:30 p.m. 1984 into a 12-step program. I remember the exact day and the exact time, August 26. 35. So you had a comment you wanted to make.
But it's just so one of the things I found from doing this meditation was like I was felt so peaceful and at one. I think the interruption comes from like I want to be heard, not like a thing. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. And when I felt more at peace with myself, I feel like I don't need to, like, of course I want to share and I want to, you know, get the experience, but it's like I don't have that, like I have to get my point across. And also I found the lights very distracting. I'd much rather have it like dimmer, but for the most part, the reason I know that it's the right thing for me is I go there so quick. I go there really quick. So my challenge is trying to incorporate this on a regular basis into my life because I know it's right.
Yes.
So that's like trying to find the right practice. And I'm also a religious Jew, so there's conflict sometimes with some of the practices with meditation. So I have to find something that is complements it or is in alignment. I can't, not that I can't, but I choose not to do some of the practices that are more, you know what I'm saying, that are more like, I don't know what to say. You know what I'm saying. So I assume you know what I'm saying. But I know that I'm much more at peace and much. I go there in 2 seconds. I'm like, it just. I know it's the right thing.
Thank you for sharing that because there are some principles I want to draw out and then maybe taking a cue from what you said, we actually can. I can introduce a practice where we can use it throughout the day. So one comment I would make is. Find a way to make this your own, right? So how can you make it your own, knowing that you have other traditions that might guide you differently? Perfectly fine. Find your own creative way to enter into that conversation. Because what mindfulness is, see, there is no place the body is always in the now. Would you agree?
Yeah.
It's always in the now. Breath is always in the now. Sound is always in the now. It's always in the now. Our body sensations are in the now. That's what being embodied is. It's our mind that is not in the now. Our mind is focused on lunch. It's focused on the shame. It's focused on what if.
You know, I would just say that I feel it's, I'm not saying the body's not in alignment, I think it's the soul. So that's my opinion. I mean, the soul is always connected in the now and here and right there. I think the body can get distracted. I think the body can get distracted.
So find your way into that conversation in a way that's creative and playful, right? Play with it and see what works to come back into the present moment. Because that's where sanity is, right?
In my experience, I did have a little playfulness when the doors were opening and closing. I thought, he has this staged for that to be happening for a practice. And I got a kick out of it, and I went back to the breath.
Well, oftentimes what happens is sounds are always happening anyway. We're just not there, right? And then we pay attention and go, my God, it's so much sound everywhere. And then you, and then I think you had, yeah.
I started to fall asleep.
Mm. I am so glad you mentioned that.
I don't know if that was the wrong.
How many of you fell asleep?
I heard some snoring going on.
I didn't hear that.
It is so perfectly normal. You are so right in the zone, right? And if you fell asleep, good for you. Your body is telling you something, right? It's like your body is going, what? And it's just shut down, right? Sleepiness is a very common in meditation, right? And I go on 7-day silent meditation retreats. That's all we do, from 6 a.m. till 9 o'clock at night. So it is not unusual for the first day for me to be to fall asleep constantly, and I mean deep sleep, right? And then there is also a thin border of not sleep, not alert, but in the sort of foggy la-la land where you might even see images, right? That is also part of the experience. You're not doing anything wrong. Some days I meditate and I'm alert. I'm there for the full half hour, 40 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever time I'm allotting. And some days I sleep 20 minutes out of the 30. I'm in that sort of twilight zone, right? I'm not doing anything wrong. Now, in time, we may not want to fall asleep. And there are things we can do to meditate without falling asleep, right? I'll show you one of them now, right? And it riffs off of what you were saying. And I was going to do something different, but since you brought it out, we'll practice it together because it has multiple implications and applications. And it also suggests that there are many ways to be mindful. Sitting is one of them. The other is standing and walking meditation. Right? A very important practice. And depending on who we are, we will find one is more useful to us than another. And I lead mindfulness in nature. Right, and I did my wife, daughter, and I did the Camino de Santiago in northern Spain. Right, and that's all you do is walk all day. Right, but you're in nature, and you can practice this. So we can practice it formally, like I was, or we can practice it when we are going to work in Vons. Right? At any time, right? And then some of us are very kinetic learners, right? That's why we have breath, we have sound, we have walking, we have standing. All of those are perfectly legitimate forms of mindful meditation, right? The whole idea is to become embodied, right? Embodied. So let me just demonstrate standing meditation. So we can actually do standing meditation, not only formally, but anytime during the day, right? So the question then is, how do I take mindfulness off the chair, the seat, and bring it to whatever it is I'm doing? So in standing meditation, why don't we practice together? So just find a comfortable way to stand. If you can't stand or if it's uncomfortable, you can sit down and I can offer you practices for sitting down that matches and mirrors standing mindfulness. I don't see anybody sitting down. So just feet just gently apart, maybe shoulder length, and in a very balanced way, weight on both heels, right? And here, in standing and walking meditation, our anchor, remember when we were doing sound and breath, those were our anchors, those were our home base. In walking or standing meditation, it's our heels, our ankles, and our toes. That's our home base, right? That's what we're training the mind to do, is to keep coming back to home base, right? So bring your attention to your ankle. It's not thinking. It's all about embodying physically, right? And what are you noticing as you pay attention to your ankles, heels, toes, balls of your feet? Well, pressure, gravity, tension, perhaps heat, maybe some tingling. Each person's experience will be different, but you're bringing, with curiosity, paying attention to present moment experience with openness and curiosity and with a willingness to be with what is. So right now it's all ankles, heels, and toes. And just notice what's happening for you, right? Notice maybe gentle losses of balance, having to sort of find your balance point again, right? Noticing that if you rock just a little bit back on your heels, you might lose your balance, but just gently, just bringing all your attention to your toes, right? Noticing how important your toes are to keeping you upright. Right? Just noticing shifts in movement, right? Now, gently, with curiosity, right? Present moment, see if you can unweight the right foot and bring pressure and weight on your left heel and left ankle, and just see what that feels like. Muscles having to tense up, perhaps ankles vibrating, trying to keep balance, the work of the toes and as they try to keep your balance, the unweighting of the right foot, what that feels like, perhaps some heat, some vibration, some tingling. Just notice what's happening. And then gently find your way back to center point, right? As you unweight and reweight, noticing movement, gravity, pressure, tension, paying attention to whatever micro movements that might be present for you. And of course, in standing and walking meditation, we have our eyes open, right? We can adopt a soft gaze. We can close our eyes if we're standing, if that's what feels comfortable. And now do the same thing. Unweight on the left foot and bring gently, with present moment experience, with curiosity, no rush, what it feels like as you bring pressure to your right ankle, heel, toes, feet. And you're paying attention. There's tension, there's muscle movement, there's all kinds of things, vibration, micro, macro vibrations, changes, movements, muscles, and then gently come back, right, into present moment, into shoulder width, heel, toe. Now, this practice can be done anytime during the day, right? Can be done anytime during the day. Waiting on the Vons line, right? So what we try to do is move outside of thinking and into embodiment, right? So when you're in the Vons line, counting the number of items the person in front of you have, because it says 10 and they have 12, and you're noticing that you're getting agitated and upset because, don't you know I'm in a hurry, right? That's all mental stuff, isn't it? And you see the resentment, right? You see that the person in front of you with a 12 has a second infraction, that they're exchanging, you know, bra sizes with the cashier, you know, what's your husband doing and who's your friend, and they're having a love fest while you're waiting. Right? You need to right? We can, instead of focusing on flights of fancy, noticing that our mind has drifted into resentment, we can bring it back, this time not to breath or sound, but into our feet, right? Heels, toes. And noticing it, right? Or we can actually wait and unwait, right? No one knows you're meditating, but you do, right? So you're moving it into the body, right? The body is a resource, and the body is also a source of great pain. I recognize that. But it's also a resource, and we find that resource, right? And usually feet and hands are neutral. Find your neutral spot, whatever that is for you. For me, it's oftentimes my hand, my toe, my heels, right? So using the body as a resource. Now, as we do this, and we can do this anytime, anywhere, meetings are a great place to practice this. Right? Why don't they get the meeting started? It can transform into, let me see what it feels like doing a standing mindfulness meditation. So the next thing we can do with it is a practice called stop. By the way, when you use this, you can't fall asleep. So for those of you who want to do the mindfulness, but know if you sit, you're going to fall asleep, right? And I'm so glad you brought that up. We can do standing meditation if you wish. I find most of the time I just allow myself to sleep. I don't get too excited. You know? So, stop. Stop can happen anytime. It's part of what we call glimpse practice. Or, I have a good friend, we are UCLA graduates together. He is a professional tennis player, and he teaches professional tennis players, and he works for Nike, and his job is to go around the world teaching elite athletes mindfulness meditation. One of the practices they use is called micro hits, a micro hit, right? Again, it's that 1 ounce weight throughout the day that we can pick up that has huge benefits. And a micro hit, we can use stop as either a micro hit or as a formal practice. So S stands for stop, right? So you're going about your day. You are going to a meeting. You're all in your head. You're all twisted up. The monkey mind is going, elephant mind is going, horses are going, or you're standing in front of your partner and you're noticing getting agitated because the buttons are being pushed, or in front of your child or a colleague, and or you're walking into a classroom like me teaching and the mind is going, oh man, I don't think you're prepared for this class today, right? And whatever is going on, we can stop. The T is take a breath. Could be one breath, could be two breaths, could be three breaths, but we inhale, exhale, right? And again, I'm sorry? Take a breath. Take a breath, right? Because breath, again, present moment, right? The O is observing. What am I observing, right? So I am in line at the cashier stand, and I'm noticing myself frustrated because it says 10 and you have 12. I counted it. I can sense agitation coming up, or resentment, or impatience, right? Now, to sense that we have it is a moment of mindfulness, right? The entire premise of the third step is we first have to know we've drifted. If you don't know that you've drifted, how do you get back to it? So awareness, that's why in Al-Anon, the first A is awareness. awareness is the mother lode. We have to be aware. And when we bring our mind to present moment, anchor, and then it drifts, we just had awareness. That's no minor gift. So as we get impatient or feel triggered or someone pushes our button, whatever it is, the O stands for observe. What are we observing? What am I seeing, hearing, feeling? So rather than focus on the 12 items in the basket, I can, what am I seeing, hearing, feeling, right? I can, what am I seeing? I see movement, I see color, I see chairs, I see light. What am I hearing? Muzak, right? And Vaughn's, I'm hearing a little child, I'm hearing someone dropping a bottle or something, but I'm hearing, just like we were doing here, right? And then feeling. Feeling has a number of features. It could be, what am I feeling, as in emotion, right? Anger, resentment, judgment, whatever it is. Or it could be a physical sensation, right? I'm feeling my heels on the floor, my toes. I'm actually wiggling my toes as I'm talking right now, right? I'm feeling that. Or bodily sensations like itching, heat, coolness. You're with me? These all become part of the practice of present moment, right? And so we can do this at any time. walking to your office, you can do a micro hit. And a micro hit is, what am I hearing? My God, there are birds. Did you know there are birds out there? But if you're not aware, you're not even hearing the birds, right? That's a micro hit. Now, it can be literally a second. But you just had an intentional 1 second of a present moment experience, right? And it's informal practice. It's not a formal practice. It's an informal. We can practice it all day. So now we can take this experience to walking meditation. In walking meditation, we essentially take this stance that we were just practicing, and we find an 8-foot or 10-foot spot, and we use our anchor. Our anchor becomes our heel and our toes, and all my attention, I try with some effort. Thank you.
I'm just going to take it out.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. That's very nice. With all my attention, I bring to my heels. I don't try to walk differently, although at the beginning I try to do it in slow motion so I can actually experience it. And I walk, bringing all my attention to my heels and toes. I can do this in formal practice when I do 7-day mindfulness meditations at retreat centers. We do 4 to 5 minutes of sitting meditation, 45 minutes of walking meditation. We do for 45 minutes throughout the day, interspersed, is bring our attention, mind's attention, this mind that wants to keep drifting. This looks silly. Why am I doing this? How is this useful? Right? Gee, you shouldn't have said that to your wife the other day. Why did you do that? Do you remember what your father did to you 30 years ago? Right? All that stuff that the mind does, you notice it, you bring it back to your feet. That's all it is. Now, when we reach, this is a formal practice. When we reach the end of our 10 feet, we stop and practice stop before we turn around. Even turning around, we do with curiosity. Unlifting, turning, noticing body sensations, noticing whatever it is that's true for us, and then we go. The stop at the end of the 8-10 feet is stop, take a breath, and then what we're practicing is open aperture. Right? Open aperture is, what am I seeing, hearing, and feeling? Remember, when we're walking, we're focused. Heels, toes, that's all it is, right? And then stop, take a breath, we always open aperture. Right? We're getting out of our self-absorbed, self-obsessed, I gotta get here, I gotta get here, I gotta do this, I gotta run, I gotta make a list, right? What am I hearing, seeing, feeling? seeing, hearing, feeling. You can even add, what am I smelling and tasting? Right? Because sometimes smell is out there, aroma. You know? We do that in mindfulness in nature. Smell, aroma. So, what am I seeing? What am I hearing? Like a dog? Or a satellite dish? Close in, out, far. And what am I feeling? Right? Whatever it is, body sensations, emotions. This stop can be 5 seconds, or it could be a minute. Or sometimes it could just be, what am I hearing? I can do it as a micro hit in my day, or I can do it as a formal practice for 45 minutes, half hour, 10 minutes, right? So you become playful, right? You practice this capacity of the mind to be redirected to the present moment, because we learn something in mindfulness. The mind can give orders. That's what it does to us all day. In mindfulness, we realize the mind can also take orders. It's like, really? I can actually redirect you from here to my toes and you'll go along with it? This is the coolest thing in the world. Right? I can listen to sound and the mind goes, oh, okay. And then it goes, well, but you know, you're going to run out of money. Oh, really? I'm going to run. Now we hear that bird again. So you begin to see you can work with this. So let's practice this together. Thank you.
Did we miss P?
Oh, thank you.
I got a P.
Where's my P? So stop, take a breath, observe, see, hear, feel, or smell, or taste. P's proceed. Go about your business, right? Proceed. Go about. So, for example, sometimes I wake. Have you heard in meetings, I woke up and the committee was already operating? You've heard of that, right? That happens for me. I wake up, I go downstairs, and the monkey mind is going 1,000 miles an hour, and I know I'm no match for it. I immediately go into a walking mindfulness meditation, and I walk mindfully into the kitchen, and then I put the dishes away, one dish at a time, right? I pick up a dish, and I observe my mind saying, you know, if you took 3 dishes, it'll go a lot faster, right? But I don't take 3 dishes. I take 1 dish. And within 5 to 10 minutes, the monkey mind has slowed down, right? Because I'm just, you know, so you get the point. So find a 8 to 10 foot spot. Now, by the way, later on, you can use this practice not as 8 foot, 10 foot spots, but going to meetings, going to office, work, whatever you're doing. But for this formal practice, find yourself in this room, 8 to 10 foot spot, your own personal 8 to 10 foot spot. Bring all your mind's attention to your heels, toes, and ankles. When your mind drifts, and it will, bring it gently, gently give it a label, thinking, and bring it back to your heels and toes. When you reach your 10-foot spot, stop, take a breath, observe, what am I seeing, hearing, feeling? You can give it 30 seconds, you can give it a minute, and then turn around mindfully in practice, and then repeat your 8-foot, 10-foot walk again. And let's do this for 10 minutes. I will ring a bell after 10 minutes. just see, how was that for you? What came up? We'd like to share. Yes. You noticed it, yeah. And later on, we can develop practices of how to work with those thoughts in a way that's productive and effective. So, but that noticing is really important. Yes.
In particular, the seeing part, you know, noticing. Uh-huh. I'm like one of the least, most unobservant people in the world.
Hmm. Yeah.
I have a real problem with that where I don't notice things easily.
Right. So you open up that aperture, yes.
I walk for exercise. So walking this slow took a lot of concentration.
Yes. Yes.
And take small steps instead of let's cover 3 miles in however many minutes I have to get it done.
Yes. Yeah.
Change of thought process.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
I noticed I forgot to breathe for the first few laps. Oh, yeah, just to breathe. And the breath part was kind of a cleansing thing. Because, you know, otherwise I was like, okay, I didn't think enough. I was doing this like in my head. And the breath really changed that. It kind of gave me a restart. So once I did that, I still did a lot of the, you know, like, well, I'm supposed to be thinking now or not, you know, whatever. But so the breath was, if I remember to do that, that was cleansing for me. So that was good.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
A lot of gratitude and hope that there's more. There's just more. You know, it's not more out there, there's more within. And hope of how to just deal with life. This is life. And my sense of humor is not going away, though. When I was, you know, I'm walking and then I looked at the sign and it said Los Angeles and I said, it says Angel. And I started being with the angels. And before you said, you know, we're going to wrap it up, I was looking at one thing, but my mind wanted to look at something else. I was looking at something. But then I'd get directed to something like, and it like says, exit. And you said, it's time to wrap it up. And I'm like, isn't that interesting? I could get my mind, my vision off of exit and the green light and the beautiful colors and the an exit sign.
Yeah.
And so I'm just really grateful. I just feel, you know, there's just more. Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, and that is one of the outcomes, is this feeling of spaciousness, but not every time, but that's one of the glimpse practices. This feeling of gratitude, this feeling of spaciousness, this feeling of possibilities, this feeling that I don't have to be my thinking. that there is something more than just my thinking. And even the awareness that I like to be always on the move, running, that there is a way to slow it down, right? We can slow it down. Why are we slowing it down? To notice granularity. We don't notice granularity, right? The granularity, be able to see colors, right? Be able to see, hear sound, subtlety. Those are important gifts. Why they're important is with more practice, we find that we have more freedoms than we give ourselves credit for. Because in an unskilled mind, our world can narrow so much where we feel we have no freedoms. There's only one solution, one way, one possibility. And then with mindfulness, that aperture opens up. It could be gratitude, it could be cause, it could be whatever happens. For each of us is different. Way back, the lady all the way in the back, you had your hand up. I'd love to hear from you as well. Thank you. That was a very important share. This just to notice that we're thinking is no minor gift, right? To notice that, because sometimes we judge ourselves and are perfectionistic, but don't think of that as thinking. And we chase it as if it's real until we realize, whoa, isn't that perfection? Isn't that there's a right way, right? And that's not a minor gift at all. And so I appreciate you bringing that out. And, you know, being in nature or walking, exercising is healthy, but it's not necessarily mindful. So you can be in nature but not and enjoying it, and exercising and getting all the benefits, but that doesn't constitute mindfulness. So mindfulness brings a quality of attention to the ordinary. It becomes extraordinary as a result of seeing its layers and subtleties and granularity, right? So thank you for sharing that. I want to do one more practice before we bring it to a close. And this is a practice that is in the pillar or domain of loving kindness and kind intention. And it is a loving kindness practice. And it's a quality we already have. It's not something we have to go get. We already have it. We just need to practice it and cultivate it with more regularity and with more intentionality. The Big Book points to it by asking us to pray for people we resent, pray for their health, their happiness, and prosperity. But the 11th step asks us, and the 9th step asks us to extend loving kindness, not only at moments when we resent, but as a natural quality. Right? We don't have to wait to resent to send loving kindness thought into the person or to the universe. We can do it at any time. Right? So this this loving kindness practice is not a head thing, although oftentimes, particularly in 12-step programs, begins with a head thing because we've been so disembodied. I was raised in a violent home, so being disembodied is normalized. Right? Why would I want to enter my body? It's a dangerous spot, right? It's a place of violence, right? But it turns out that if we can cultivate ever so gently that practice of finding our way into our heart space over time through glimpse practices, little practices, that we can draw huge benefits. So if loving kindness practice becomes a head thing for you, you're not doing anything wrong, it's quite normal, but see if you can find the space in the heart. And I'll guide you through this. So let me ask you again to sit in a comfortable space. And again, alert, but not rigid. Feet on the floor. You can close your eyes or leave them open. Soft gaze, whatever is comfortable for you. And in this particular practice that we're going to cultivate, we begin with bringing to mind someone we already feel loving towards. Not who we should be feeling loving kindness towards, but when we think of them, bring them into our mind's eye, we already have that sensation of loving kindness. Thinking about them brings a smile to our face, to our heart. We notice something going on internally. Now, if there is no person, it's not a problem. We can bring a pet to mind. If not a pet, we might think of someone who's already passed and is no longer with us, but who, when we think of them, automatically brings sensations of gratitude, spaciousness, kindness. Or we can find a peaceful spot, whether it's ocean, mountain, forest, preferably a person or a pet. So I invite you now to bring that person or pet to mind and see what it feels like for you in terms of bodily sensations, whether it's the heart, a smile, pleasantness, and allow that feeling or sensation to grow. Now, in this particular practice, where we're cultivating the mind through this practice of neuroplasticity by design, we can send phrases of loving kindness to this particular person or pet. Now, I will share with you my phrases or phrases. There's no right or wrong phrase. You can add your own phrase, use your own phrase. You can even use a phrase in your own language. But the idea is to send this person or pet phrases of loving kindness. And as you share or send these phrases, see if you can notice what might be happening in the heart space. Again, if you don't feel anything is happening, you're not doing anything wrong, you're not forcing anything, you're not trying to impress anyone, you're simply cultivating the potential or planting the seed for later growth. So again, with the image of this person or pet before you, you can send them these phrases. May you be happy. May you be safe and protected and free from harm. May you be strong and healthy and resilient. May you have peace and ease. May you know that you are loved and lovable. May you be free of suffering and pain. May you rest peacefully in the arms of a loving power. May you be safe. May you always have meaningful work to do. Again, you can use your own phrases or use mine, but the idea is still the same, inclining our hearts towards loving kindness, towards someone we already love. May you be free of inner and outer danger. May you have peace and ease. May you be safe, protected, free from harm. Notice what's happening in the body, in the chest. If nothing, you're not doing anything wrong. Now imagine that same pet or person sending these same phrases to you. One of the hardest things to do is to accept loving kindness. And imagine this person, this pet, sending you these same phrases. May you be happy, meaning me. May you be safe, protected, and free from harm. May you have peace, ease. May you be happy, joyous, and free. May you know that you are loved and lovable. May you be healthy and strong. And again, noticing what may be happening in the body, and if you feel spaciousness or love, let it grow. If not, you're just planting the seed. Allow the seed to rest, to sprout later. Now I invite you to bring to mind someone neutral. A neutral person is someone you may meet in the street but don't know. Could be someone you see walking a dog in the neighborhood all the time but don't know very well. There's no emotion attached. Just a neutral person. It could be a cashier. It could be the gas station attendant. It could be a colleague that you see but don't have a relationship with. It's a neutral person. Now, send these same loving kindness phrases to a neutral person. May you be happy. May you be safe and protected and free from harm. May you know that you are loved and lovable and acceptable. May you rest in the arms of a loving universe. May you be free of pain and suffering. May you be happy. Of course, we can send these phrases to anyone at any time. not just during formal practice, but throughout the day. These are glimpse practices as well. We can send it to people driving on the freeway who seem to be agitated. Or we might notice someone deep in thought or caught in mind or feeling anxious. We can telepathically communicate. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you have peace and ease. Of course, the very practice is neuroplasticity by design. We're literally rewiring neurons to practice loving kindness when it doesn't count, when it doesn't matter. So it turns out practicing these loving kindness intentions is quite helpful when we don't have to practice them at all. When there's no reason to practice them, we practice them. We rewire our neurons. We do glimpse practices, micro hits of loving kindness throughout the day. At meetings, with colleagues. So now I invite you to bring to mind someone who you have some negative emotion towards, a resentment, a judgment, an anger. But I caution that you, on a scale of 1 to 10, identify someone who is a 2 or a 3. You practice with 1 pound weights, not 100 pound weight. It's the 1 pound weights that allows us over time to also work with the 100 pound weights. So, of course, the mind, being the mind, wants to go right to the 100 pound weight. And we gently nudge it on a scale of 1 to 10, a 2 or a 3. Or a 4 if we want. We're just planting the seed of sending loving kindness phrases to someone who agitates us. We'll bring that person to mind, or that situation, or that person, place, or thing, doesn't matter. And we cultivate sending loving kindness phrases to that individual. May you be safe. May you be protected and free from harm. May you have peace and ease. May you know that you are loved and lovable. May you know, just like me, you want to be happy. Just like me, you want to be free from emotional pain and suffering. Just like me, you want to be safe and protected. We practice this with people who are easier on our resentments or judgments or places or situations. We're planting the seed for later use. And again, noticing what that might feel like in the body. Maybe tightness, maybe resistance, maybe gratitude, maybe spaciousness. For whatever it is I'm thinking, feeling, and experiencing, may I hold this with kindness. May I hold this with kindness. And now finally, let's practice these same phrases, sending loving kindness to ourselves. It's not easy to do often, but it's a practice we can cultivate at any time. And here I invite you, if you wish, to put your hand on your heart, or both hands. It's your choice. It's been shown that if we put our hands in our heart space, it releases oxytocin, oftentimes called the love hormone. And we simply put our hands on our chest and or in our heart, and we send loving kindness phrases to ourselves as best as we can. May I be happy. May I be safe, protected, and free from harm. May I have peace and ease. May I rest peacefully in the arms of a loving power. May I know that I'm protected. May I be free of all inner and outer danger. May I be free of suffering. May I know that I am lovable. I belong here. I'm a child of a loving universe. May I have peace. And see what that feels like in the body. Just turning the attention. Whatever it is, we allow it, accept it. Now taking a deep inhale, holding it, exhale, holding it, inhale again, exhale, and one more time, inhale, exhale. And when you're ready, you can end this meditation of loving kindness and open your eyes. Or if your eyes are already open, you can end this meditation. So this practice of loving kindness can be done as a formal meditation. It can also be practiced as a micro hit throughout the day. With a more advanced practice, someone cuts us off. Our first reaction may be anger, but we notice that, and then we can do a loving kindness practice. May you be safe. May you be protected. May you be free from injury. May you be free from harm. Right? Or you can practice it as a micro-hit, as I do, at any time. I feel like I might be judging myself or someone else. I notice it right away. And I practice a micro-hit. No one has to know. I put my hand on my heart and then drop it. I just practiced a micro-hit of loving kindness, right? Because I know what this phrase means. This movement of the hand to the chest is all we did for the last 25 minutes, right? But it's a micro-hit to remind my neurons that it can have a different response to life other than judgment, frustration, resentment, right? What came up for you? We have a few more minutes. What came up? I know that in some of your minds, including mine, is what's for lunch? If it wasn't, we're not in the right program. And for thinking about food, may I hold this too with kindness? Yes.
Yes.
It's a real stretch for me to say,
yes, it is.
Instead of, like I was talking about, like you.
Right. Absolutely. And that's perfectly normal. And so what we're doing is planting the seed. So we're practicing neuroplasticity by design. We're intentionally practicing something that isn't, that's alien or difficult. But what we know is it's inclining towards the right idea, right? The right idea is to be loving and kind, right? Am I there? I might not get there for a few years. That doesn't matter. But the journey is what we're after, and you're just planting the seeds, and it's a beautiful, beautiful way to do that. Yes. And were you able to find that kindness towards someone you already loved? Yeah, so stay with that, right? So we know what's possible. We have a glimpse, and we work with it. And then the program says act as if, even though we may have emotions, so we can act as if sending loving kindness to neutral. Were you able to do that? Yeah, so it gets more challenging as we find challenging situations, but we begin with what we already know we can do. Send loving kindness to those we already love, right? The gift is not to wait until we resent. The gift is to give loving kindness when it does, when we already love, right? And see what it feels like in the chest, in the body, in the smile. That happens to me whenever I see a dog, right? My whole world opens up, right? I know I have it. I know I have it. Now I need to take that and practice it in more complex environments, right? But I know for sure no one can tell me I'm not a loving, kind person because I saw it.
And I think for me the emotion, it's an actual positive thing because
yes.
If I'm feeling sad that I don't have it towards that person, the potential of getting it.
Beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful. Yes.
Yeah, first of all, I wanted to thank you so much for this whole thing. It's been really very meaningful for me.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
God bless you.
So you brought up food, which I don't think we brought up food too much the last 3 hours. But so my question, two questions are, number one, what you just said, especially for my self-love, which I find is probably a more challenging thing for me. Do you have it written down, or is there somewhere like a podcast or something you can recommend? And do you also have something, I know as a compulsive reader, I want to eat, but I know that if I can pause before I eat, probably more mindful and more beneficial for myself and those around me. So do you have any practice that you can recommend for
Yes, thank you for sharing that. And there is, first of all, a great book to read is Tara Brach's work on radical acceptance. If you haven't had a chance to come across Tara Brach, you can Google her as well, but radical acceptance. And then she just came out with a new book called Radical Compassion, to giving ourselves compassion. And so I recommend that. The second thing I recommend is to go to the UCLA website. UCLA's website under the heading MARC. MARC is M-A-R-C. It stands for Mindfulness Awareness Research Center. In the MARC UCLA website are all kinds of free 5-minute, 10-minute, 15-minute, half-hour meditations on everything plus more that we've talked about. Highly recommend the UCLA website. And the third is, with practicing mindfulness, there's a whole practice. I don't do it with compulsive overeaters. It's mindful grape eating, how to eat grapes, food, mindfully. But if you want to practice mindful eating, it is, and we do that whenever I go on retreats, we simply are mindful about each bite, right? And we take a forkful, mindfully, just our food and our hands and our mouth become our anchors. We mindfully, gently bring it into our mouth, and then we put the fork or the spoon down, and then we chew, right? And we focus on the chewing, and then we swallow, focus on the swallowing. And then after we've swallowed, we pick up the fork again or the spoon again, and we eat another bite, right? Is that easy to do? No, not as a compulsive overeater. But that would be a practice. It can even be a glimpse practice. You might do it once, never again touch it. But you know it's possible, right? But those are some... and then being mindful about the food that you're eating. Where did this come from? How many hands did it have to touch? How many people were involved? This food was grown somewhere by someone's hand with water, rain, fertilizer. This food had to be picked, transported. Every one of these people who transported the food got money. That money was used to feed a child, to clothe a child, to put a roof over the house, right? There are a lot of, we can get really curious about it, right? And then we develop gratitude, right? Depth, subtlety, right? This, and then we complain why the grapes cost $4. But imagine how much it took just to get the grape to Vaughn's. And how many people were educated? How many kids got to live out dreams because somebody got paid to transport this, right? Right? There's a lot happening if we want to be mindful. One last thought. I am not one who believes that mindfulness is an antidote to compulsive overeating addiction. Those of us who are afflicted with this disease, we need the steps. Mindfulness is another tool. It is not the recovery. I firmly believe mindfulness cannot meet the challenge of alcoholism, of drug addiction, or food addiction. There is no human power other than a higher power. But mindfulness is a wonderful tool that I encourage you to keep cultivating, right? Thank you. If you need to go, please do. I'm happy to stay back.